Games are a natural for 4K and HDR. Developers want to deliver on the promise of their creative vision, and both these technologies enable them to make their games look better without the compromises. To provide users with even better gaming experiences, in conjunction with these technologies, we give you PlayStation 4 Pro.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 596. Busy host Danny, and also joining me this week, weekly co-host of the show, let's go with Paris.
What's going on? It is September 7th. It is PS4 Pro Day.
Yes.
And iPhone 7, but nobody cares about it.
And those expensive
earpods.
We'll talk about that later. And also we have Pete Rock in the house. Pete!
What's up? The PS4 hype train is rolling. It's rolling hard. But is it hard enough to throw $400 at the screen?
I think we should just start now. We should just forget about intro, none of that. Let's talk about this. So the press conference just finished. It was only like a, 30 minute or so?
45, 47 minutes, I think was the call.
So there you have it, guys. I mean, you know, they show the PlayStation 4, the new version, slim version. That's going to be $299, which we originally thought was going to be $250, but guess not.
Disappointed by that. That's disappointing.
I said $450, but, you know, okay.
No, slim. I'm talking about the slim one. Yeah, yeah. So why are you disappointed, Paris?
I just felt like Sony had a real great opportunity. Like, you know, I've been preaching the last few weeks to make it the cheapest console this holiday. And $250 would have been that. The fact that it doesn't do the 4K Blu-ray. Look, I guess we'll get into that more later. But the 4K Blu-ray, and it's not doing the 4K Netflix streaming or any of that stuff. It's just a gaming machine. The Xbox One S is at $299 is a better value than that. Bottom line, period. I would go get an Xbox One S at $299 before I get a PlayStation 4 Slim, period. You know what I mean? So
yeah, definitely. Agreed.
So I was surprised to see them come in at $299. You know, I just felt like it made a lot more sense to make it, again, as cheap as possible and try and just get it to a bottom line price.
My question to you guys, do you think that Sony was surprised with the whole Xbox One S when it was announced during E3?
Yes.
And that, yeah? Okay.
Yes, because when you look at what the Slim is, the PlayStation 4 Slim is compared to the Xbox One S, it pales in comparison.
You could almost say that with regards to the PS4 Pro. At the same time, though. Do you disagree?
Same time.
Yeah, I mean, you could, and to this date, and as of this recording, Scorpio is still, I guess, could we say vaporware? Because we haven't
technically, yeah, we
haven't. Well, seen vaporware.
I know that's gonna make a bunch of people mad if we say that right now, according to Twitter today. But I mean, technically, yeah, it's a year away. Obviously, I think it's very apparent. I don't know if we just want to move into the PS4 Pro stuff, but it's very apparent. Look, let me say this first of all. And I'm doing air quotes right now. My sources that I may or may not have talked to, to all that, because originally the rumors is exactly what that Pro is. No different. The original rumors that we got about that Pro spec wise is what it is. If anything, it's a little less because a lot of us assumed it'd have a 4K Blu-ray player in it too. Yep. But it is very apparent that they are not competing on any level with the Scorpio, with the PlayStation 4 Pro. You know,
the part that confuses me out of all of the announcements from the PlayStation 4 technical showcase today was not that it was coming out in November, not that it was coming out at $400, but that with all of the quote unquote, and I'm using Paris's air quotes here, all of the technological advancements of the PS4 Pro, they couldn't include a Blu-ray, a 4K Blu-ray player inside the box.
I got a theory on that.
A product that whose patent belongs to Sony. So it's not like, but the thing that's the kicker is that the Xbox One S has one for $100 less.
I have a theory on that. I have a theory. I have a theory on that.
Go for it.
Sony is, again, just my crazy theory. What do I know? But I think Sony's obviously betting that 4K Blu-ray is not going to, physical media is dying. It has been, right? The sales numbers prove that out. They didn't think it was worth the investment, and that's why they left it out. And instead, they're going to double down on 4K streaming. And I will not be shocked to see Sony come out with their own 4K library. They're going to have their own streaming service on PlayStation 4 and other Sony products, TVs or whatever. That's what they're going to double down on, in my personal opinion. That's why they went and stressed that they're partnering up with Netflix and are going to have a new player, you know, for the 4K stuff and all that, which obviously Microsoft has too. I still think it's a mistake. I think you just bite the bullet and you put that 4K Blu-ray player in there anyways, especially when your competition on their lesser system has one. It's like I said before, when you look at the Xbox One S at $299 compared to the PlayStation Pro at $399, feature for feature, the argument can be made for the enthusiast crowd that wants the media consumption and is not just looking at this as a gaming device. If I want something, again, we have our friend Phoenix, because I was on the phone with him earlier and he was, as soon as he heard no Blu-ray player, he's like, I'm out, because that's important to him. So you just lost a customer because you didn't include that 4K Blu-ray player in there. And we know there's other people out there like that too. So in that sense, the Xbox One S at $299 is a better value than even the PlayStation 4 Pro. If you look at it as an all-around device. I mean, if we want to talk gaming, that's another conversation we can get into in just a second.
Well, isn't that what Microsoft has always wanted their Xbox product to be? The all-in-one entertainment center in your living room that handles not just video games, but as well as your local entertainment with, you know, cable, etc. So that's all in great. But with the 4K gaming stuff, I remember seeing the documentation from Sony's, you know, the Sony pages saying that they were targeting 2560 by 1440 and then using rendering to up-res. And this is it really native 4K gaming?
And this is what we're talking about. You know, you were in Miami, you know, probably eating or something. While we're in LA.
I was having the pastelito burgers. Yes, yeah. So good.
But no, but when Danny and I were out here in LA at Call of Duty XP, you know, when we recorded one podcast, we talked about this. I mean, that was my speculation that this thing is not going to be native 4K. And that's why Microsoft was very smart at their E3 press conference to say that it was doing true 4K gaming. Because while PlayStation Pro games will be in 4K, their native resolution is exactly what you just said. They're going to be closer to 14. They're going to be like a weird off resolution. It's going to be like 1440p, maybe something a little more.
So it's going to be like Microsoft. It's going to be like the Xbox 900p resolution.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then Mark Cerny, if you listen to him closely, and the thing they're doing, they're using whatever, you know, new technology to basically render everything out at 2160p when it comes to gaming.
PS4 Pro is not intended to blur the lines between console generations. Instead, the vision is to take the PS4 experience to extraordinary new levels. First and foremost, our goal is to deliver high-fidelity graphical experiences. With that in mind, we more than doubled the power of the GPU and adopted many new features from the AMD Polaris architecture, as well as several even beyond it. A number of hardware innovations support efficient rendering for 4K displays, allowing titles on PS4 Pro to reach resolutions not thought to be possible on console in 2016. For those gamers and developers who put a premium on achieving the smoothest frame rate possible, we're boosting the clock rate of the CPU. We understand that continuity of experience is important to the PlayStation community. Existing games will play as you're accustomed to on PS4 Pro, and we're providing a number of mechanisms for easily transferring your game library and entitlements from the standard model to the new console. We're also equipping PS4 Pro with a 1 terabyte hard drive to ensure that you'll have plenty of space for new experiences. The result of all these improvements is a console that provides unparalleled experiences for the 4K TV owner, and truly excellent enhancements for those using HDTVs as well. We'll give you a detailed look at those aspects of PS4 Pro today, as well as show how transformative high dynamic range is for gaming content, and what the new console offers for VR. 4K TV sets deliver an unprecedented level of detail. Today, we have, as an industry, been supporting 720p and 1080p HDTVs with 1 or 2 million pixels. 4K TVs provide a staggering 8 million pixels of display resolution. The achievable visual depth and detail are extraordinary. Brute force rendering techniques can, of course, be used to support these displays, but they have unfortunate consequences for console cost and form factor.
So, technically, when you're playing your games on a PlayStation 4 Pro and when you're looking at them on a 4K TV, they will be in 4K.
So but 4K they're native light?
Wow, you're turning into Danny.
Yes, I am.
I've been quiet the whole time.
A lot of the things on this technical showcase bugged me. And one of the things is exactly that. Why was Microsoft trashed 3 years ago when they were, the power of the cloud is going to power our streaming. But when Sony does it, it's groundbreaking and they get a free pass.
No, it's not groundbreaking, but I'll tell you why Microsoft got trash in 2013 compared to what's happening today. And look, if you think about it, Sony's been catching it online today too. But the difference is in 2013, you had $399 and you had $499 for virtually the same exact system. It came down to that $100, period. And you can talk technical specs, everything else, all you want, because like you said, Microsoft, and famously Aaron Greenberg, was a big champion of this. So what if it was 900p? When you see it on your television, it's at 1080p. And that's been their argument the entire time, right? So Sony's basically doing the same thing here. Now, we're not getting a 900p native game up-res to 4K. I mean, it is going to be like 1440p or something like that up to 4K, which I'm not saying is 100% acceptable, but we kind of knew this going in already, especially with all the leaks. So it's not a shock is what I'm trying to say. And we already know, especially you and I, Pete, having PCs and having the GPUs that we have, it takes a lot to render at native 2160p. And that's why I've even made the comments about Scorpio at 6 teraflops. They're going to have some wizards on the engineering side to squeeze out 2160p native at anything above 30 frames per second on Scorpio. So that still remains to be seen as well. At this point, it is what it is, man. It's like we've been saying for the longest when it comes to this Neo coming out. If you have a 4K TV, then it's worth considering the upgrade. If you have a 1080, and I'm just speaking for me, if you have a 1080p TV, I see no reason to upgrade from your current PlayStation 4 if you already own one. I really don't. I don't see the reason. I mean, I know they're talking HDR and all that, and that even that's kind of sketchy on the original PlayStation 4, just for the simple fact I'm not 100% sure about HDMI 2.0 and how HDR works with that. If you don't need it, if you can do it on HDMI 1.4, I'm assuming you can since Sony is doing this. But here's the thing. There's not a 1080p television out that does HDR. So you're going to have a 4K TV anyways, right? If you're doing HDR, might as well get the Pro. So really, that's just a checkbox on the marketing list to say that the original PlayStation 4 can do HDR as well, you know, because you still need a 4K TV to do it, technically. So,
yeah.
It's interesting, man. Like I'm going to get it. I'm getting it. I've said I was going to get it.
Of course you're going to get it.
I'm going to get it. You know, and you know, despite all the snark that I've gotten on social media today, I'm still going to get it. You know, Horizon. Look, I know the videos I saw on YouTube in 4K today. Horizon looked amazing in 4K.
Yo, 10 times better than the one that we got to see at E3.
Exactly. Ooh. Mass
10
Effect.
10 times better.
That's why I go back again. You can't tell me that God of War we saw at E3 was Neo or Pro or whatever the hell you want to call it now. You know what I mean?
Pro, yeah, whatever.
But the point is, it's not real 4K, but it looks good. You know, I'm not saying, look, if you're a big Scorpio, you want the true experience, or you want to get a high-end PC and do that, if you want to spend the coin, absolutely going to do it, because you're going to pay for what you get, is what it comes down to, right? So at $399, if you have a 4K TV, if it does HDR and all that, It looks good. I mean, look, they showed off Mass Effect on there as well. It looks great. Is it worth $400 to you? Only you can decide that. I'm going to get it because, like I said, my PC is also my Xbox. So that's where I'm doing all my 4K Xbox stuff. I'll be playing Gears 4 and 4K on that. Hey, in native 4K. I guess that's the new buzzword now, native 4K.
Man, like, here's the thing that I have, though. The issue that I have, that they were pushing this as like 4K this, 4K that. They were really pushing that hard during the press conference, Sony.
But of course, it's what we said.
I don't know.
It's what we said before this even dropped. They're going to say 4K. They will avoid at all costs to talk about native 4K. They're just going to say, hey, when you see it on your screen, it's in 4K, right? Then it's 4K gaming. That's going to be their new marketing. But I mean, it's literally the polar opposites here, 2013 here in 2016. For what Microsoft did back then to now what Sony's doing today. You know what I mean? Because now Microsoft is touting power. Scorpio in 2017, we got the most powerful console out there. We're doing native 4K, the whole, all the bells and whistles, right? Where Sony's like, look, hardware's not as powerful, but hey, when it's on your screen, it's in 4K, right? Good enough, right? Yeah. Only you can decide if that's acceptable to you or not. And look, according to the Twitter, a lot of people is not acceptable at all. Because some people went absolute 100% fanboy on me, like, I freaking care. I don't care. You know what I mean?
It's no,
like,
here what somebody posted, like, a PlayStation 4 Pro specs on Twitter. And Aaron Greenberg retweeted that and posted, proud to bring, with a capital T, true 4K gaming and most powerful console ever made coming with Project Scorpio, which is coming out sometime next year, I believe. They're really going all out, like right now, like online on Twitter. They're like posting things, like little shots here, shots there. I'm like, I mean, we'll see. I mean, look, man, at the end of the day, if you feel like you want to buy this console, go for it. If you want to buy the cheaper version, $299, go for it. I just don't like when companies, and they could be Microsoft too, when they're just promoting BS, I'm not down with that at all, man.
It's not, you know? BS in the sense that, and again, that press conference sucked. Let's just be real here. That was Mark Cerny was not, look, he's the smartest person in the room, but he was not the person to deliver that message and what they were trying to sell, right? They needed, honestly, they needed Peter Moore. That's what they needed. They needed a hype man on stage to get everyone excited about it. And they shouldn't have just did it for the press. They should have invited fans in there as well to get the, because think about it, nobody was clapping. It was like a morgue in there. It just felt odd. And I know Tokyo Game Show's coming and they're going to have a press briefing there. Maybe that's where they're going to try and get the buzz going for it. But this initial reveal felt kind of stale. I mean, yes, a lot of it got leaked. I thought it was odd that they didn't acknowledge that the Slim was leaked. They should have just give a wink and a nod to that. But it was very serious in tone. It was almost they were defending the way that they're doing 4K versus what we know Microsoft's going to do next year in 4K. It was odd.
You know, when Microsoft comes out with their next. Announcement of Scorpio. You know, this, it's, hell, I wouldn't be surprised if they did it at the new Xbox Experience event that they're doing in Australia. I think they just announced a day or two. But you know, that's going to be nothing but, you know, bells, whistles, sirens, the whole nine. You know, they're going to go all out. Now knowing what we know about the PS4 Pro, does Microsoft really have to go back to the drawing board and take notes and respond?
No. They're confident, confident.
The Pro is not competing with Scorpio at all. The specs that they announced at E3 are not being threatened by this at all. It's just simply is not. You know, here's what, and this is what I tweeted earlier, what got people mad, because this was during the press briefing. Next holiday, I don't care how powerful Scorpio is, because again, average consumer, they just hear 4K, they hear the marketing terms. They're not worrying about, is it up-resing from 1440p? They just hear that the PlayStation 4 Pro can do 4K. So if next holiday, there's a $350 PlayStation 4 Pro and all the games are quote-unquote, and I'm doing air quotes, in 4K, going up against a Scorpio that's $500 and it's true 4K, but they all look the same, which one are you going to go buy? Now, we know the hardcore will go buy Scorpio. You know, that's a given. But the average person, the mom and pops on Black Friday 2017, they see a $350 PlayStation 4 that says 4K, and they see a $500 Xbox, whatever it's, that's the new word, Scorpion. The Xbox Scorpion.
Scorpion. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so funny to me. But they see that, and it's $500, and that says 4K, too. Which one are you going to get?
Of course, they're going to go for the cheaper version. But here's the thing, Paris. What if Microsoft announced this console next year and they say $350?
Wrap. Because they wrap.
Wait. Let me finish.
So he's got to add the rest of the quantifiers here.
let me finish this one. Because look, they do know that this console, the PlayStation 4 Pro next year is going to be $350 by the time Scorpio goes out. So then we're like, you know what? We're going to go in and surprise Sony and say $349 Scorpio, true 4K gaming. Then what? What Sony is going to do next after that?
If they were to do that, which I'm sorry, Danny, you can't even dream on this because there's no way in hell it'll be $350 at launch. But let's just say it is, for your argument. If they can deliver a $350 Scorpio to go up against this current PlayStation 4 Pro, oh yeah, it'll fly off shelves. Absolutely, it will.
I don't know if they go 350. I think they just stick it at 399, match the same price point.
You're dreaming too, Pete.
You really think that they're going to undercut and go for the jugular on this?
No.
Why not? Lose money. Why not? Go for it.
They want to create
a buzz. They'll say this: $249 for Xbox One S, $349 for Scorpio.
You'll be lucky.
Lucky.
You'll be lucky if it's $450. I'm being realistic. I mean, we can speculate all we want. The damn thing's over a year away. But my point is, Phil Spencer, it is in that sense. But like, go back to E3. Phil Spencer with Giant Bomb sat on their couch and said, this will be a premium product and will be priced as such. So it will be a stretch to think that they're coming in on a console that is, again, not doing smoke and mirrors, legit hardware powerhouse, got the horsepower to do true 2160p gaming.
They're not holding anything back.
So we gave the SoC 6 teraflops of computing capability to be able to handle 4K resolutions. Gamers are going to get the most powerful graphics processor that's been put into a game console to date.
It's going to make developers happy. It's going to make gamers happy because they're going to get a very powerful GPU out of it.
The highest res, the best frame rate, no compromises.
You get 4K gaming, true 4K resolution. I can't wait to see what developers actually do with all that horsepower in the box.
But the box we're building is incredible. It's going to have 8 CPU cores, over 320 gigabytes per second of memory bandwidth, 6 teraflops of GPU power. It's a monster.
If that thing's $350 next year, I'll just take my 1080 and just sling it across the street and go buy one, because there's no way that thing's $350.
Hey, let me dream. You never know.
No, man. I'm thinking they're coming in at $400, price matching, and
no, I doubt that too. Here's the thing. We can all have our opinion. I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off now. I'm being Danny G.
I see that. But go ahead.
Like I said, me realistically, I think the thing at a minimum is $450. So you're going to run into this problem next holiday of $100 difference again. Will it matter this time around is what I think realistically looking at it, there's going to be a $100 price difference between those two consoles next holiday. So
I don't think so.
At a minimum. So, okay. So you really think Scorpio is going to be $400 next year? You really think that?
Yep.
Insanity.
$350 or $400 max.
Insanity. I doubt it. Highly doubt it.
Hey, let me dream, boy. Here's one thing, though. Do you call this new PlayStation 4 PlayStation 4 Pro console basically a PlayStation 4 and a half? Yes or no?
Yes.
Pete?
Do I call it a PlayStation 4.5?
Yes. So no. Paris says yes. Pete has no comment.
It's not that I don't have a comment. I just don't. I think it has enough to separate it from the 4 label, from the current gen. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the lack of an ultra 4K or of a 4K Blu-ray player, is what's holding it back. I'm a little uncertain. I do like the fact that they're bringing HDR to all the consoles, regardless of whether you got a day one or you got a day 400.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I think it's 4.5.
Okay.
Oh, and very.
Oh, wait, I was going to say something.
You wait. And very important to me.
My God, Paris.
It has an optical port on it.
Well, congratulations.
4.5 or the 4?
Yeah.
The 4 Slim.
The 4.5. The Slim does not, but the 4.5 does.
So wait, the Xbox One S does have one though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, but it has an auxiliary port.
Okay.
And the Pro has a USB port on the back now, thank God.
Do you remember this from a couple months ago from Phil Spencer? He said, "I'm not a big fan of Xbox One and a half. If we're going to move forward, I want to move forward in big numbers."
Yeah, and it ain't going to be $350. This is what I've been telling you. I've said this weeks ago. That is not an Xbox 1.5. That is the next generation Xbox that, oh, by the way, can also play Xbox One games. And your old Xbox One, oh, by the way, can play some Scorpio games on it. But they ain't going to look nowhere near as good on the on your Xbox One trying to play those Scorpio games at launch. That's just what it is. They're moving on. Let's be clear. They're moving on with the generation. Sony is trying to tip the line and stay in this generation, but bump it up a little bit. That's what Neo is or was or whatever you want to call it. Scorpio is the full measure. It ain't a half measure. They're going all in, next generation of gaming, 4K, and they're not looking back. And if you don't think so, you're fooling yourself. That's why I'm telling you, there is no way in hell that thing is $350 November 2017. If it is, I'll tell you, my 1080 is getting smashed across the street because I won't believe it.
Let me tell you, I just hope they announce that because I just want to see that on video of Paris doing
it. Oh, I'll do it. You don't know why I'll do it? Because I might as well get a damn Scorpio if it's 350. It's cheaper than a 1080. You know?
It's cheap. It's going to be cheaper by next year.
Yeah, you're not throwing that 1080.
You guys, you never know, man. I think they'll do it just to take that risk.
You're insane. Just like your four console dream, right?
And that four console dream came true. You know it's true, Paris and Pete. Stop.
Where's the fourth console?
The PC.
PC is not a console. You can swap out the parts.
Anyways,
we're getting off topic. To rein this thing back into what is we're talking about, the PlayStation 4 Pro. Like I said, yep. I thought Horizon, I was really impressed, not just the visual stuff, but just seeing what they were doing in that little snippet. I'm interested now in February, whereas I really wasn't that much before. And let's be real here. While I'm excited for Mass Effect Andromeda, we know it's going to be fire when it comes out. What we saw other than the visual fidelity of it, they didn't really show you nothing.
I wasn't excited for it. I told you guys in the chat when we were talking about it.
It did not
get me all excited. If anything, that Spider-Man and the Horizon is the one that really perked the ears and was like, whoa, that Spider-Man looked amazing. And I don't know if that's in-game or if that was just, you know, CGI for the event or what have you. But I really dug.
They showed For Honor and it looked pretty good. 4K.
But see, that's what I go back to again. We're seeing all the games now, like Call of Duty is going. They're even going to patch Black Ops 3. Uncharted 4 is getting a patch. I even saw Naughty Dog tweet The Last of Us Remaster is getting a pro, you know, patch as well. So all these games that are coming out this holiday that will be on PlayStation 4, you'll look, they'll be in 4K, and I'm again doing the air quote. So they're doing it now as far as being able to say we have games that are in 4K, right?
Yeah.
Will Scorpio's power matter by the time we get to next holiday? That's all. That's my only point, because price is going to be a big factor in that. It just is. You can't deny that if they have a system that is $100 more than their competition, the average gamer, the average parent is going to be hesitant to want to pay that price compared to, well, why am I spending $100 more on this when I can just get this one and they all look the same? You have to factor that in.
Now, let me ask you this. If a parent goes to the store and they see PlayStation 4 Pro, PlayStation 4 Slim, and Xbox One S, which one you think they're going to buy?
Slim. No, I take that back, because it's $299. No, they're probably going to get the One S. Realistically, you get the most bang for your buck. That's just real.
If they do the research. If they don't, they're probably going to see that as both same console.
Yeah.
Slim and the One S.
Now, one other thing we haven't talked about yet is the fact that there's basically three different modes now on PlayStation that developers have to hit. You have your base mode, which is the current PlayStation 4, just as it's been since launch, right? You then have the quote-unquote pro mode, 4K mode, where they'll get games and they'll get it up to 4K and they'll display them that way. May not necessarily have all the bells and whistles turned on. Then you have, which is really the sweet spot, where someone with just a 1080p television is going to get the most out of this pro, I think. You're going to have that 1080p mode with basically 60 frames per second, all the bells and whistles turned on, because the example that they were using for that was Tomb Raider. The Rise of Tomb Raider that's coming out is going to be a game that takes advantage of that, where that 1080 mode on the Pro is going to have all the effects turned on, all the lighting, everything that they can possibly squeeze out of the Pro at that 1080p resolution and 60 frames per second. And let's be real, you're most likely on the 4K mode of the Pro, you're going to get 30 frames per second. I highly doubt we're going to see anything at 4K at 60 frames per second.
I have a question about the PlayStation VR. Has there been any comments on the difference between the older one and now with this new console, how PlayStation VR is going to be like differently graphically and all that? How's that going to play?
I don't know.
Because I've been reading only about the console. I haven't seen anything about PlayStation 4 VR yet.
It's funny. And you have a point there, because with as much, like, it was almost as if it was a side piece, just like an extra add on of like, oh yeah, you know, and we're going to have VR, and that was early on. And then that was it. We didn't hear anything else. You know, it's why the smoke and mirrors this close to launch, because VR launches in October, correct? With the Pro coming in November. We're 30 days from PlayStation VR, 60 days from PlayStation Pro. Why the smoke and mirrors and nothing to see here?
Unless a journalist got to play it over there in New York after the press conference. I mean, that's the only thing I could come up with, but I haven't seen anything yet about it. I've seen people talking about the controller, the console, how it looks on a 4K screen, but that's it. That's all I've been reading today. So if in the future we read stuff about like the PlayStation VR, how it looks, you know, with this new console, then definitely we'll definitely talk about it and stuff. But man, I don't know, man. What you give this press conference overall, 1 through 10, as a fan of PlayStation 4?
4.3.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. 4.3 and a 5. Yeah. And a 5. Okay. Anything else before we move on? Or
what for you? What was it for you? What would you put it at?
I give it a 6.
Why?
It wasn't hard. Why? I think the games that they showed, I mean, it's not true 4K, but I liked it. Even though it felt kind of boring throughout the whole press conference, but the stuff that they showed, I think was cool.
But isn't the point of something like this to raise the eyebrows, to get you hyped, to get you excited? If anything, it may have backfired. It may have been 2013 Microsoft for them.
Nah, it's not that bad. It's not, no, that press conference Xbox, that was horrible. This one, it wasn't the best, it wasn't the worst, but it was like just eh. Now, is this going to make me go and buy a PlayStation 4 VR? I mean, a VR or Pro, I mean? No, I don't see myself buying that at all. I'd rather just stay with the current one that I have. Well, like, there's no reason for me to buy the Pro. Like, why I should buy it?
Agreed.
After seeing this.
Agreed. That's what I've been saying for weeks. If you don't have a 4K TV, there's really no consideration for this right now. There really isn't. Now, you put it in the chat while we're talking, you know, on NeoGAF, someone just brought up some highlights of what Mark Cerny was saying at this thing. So I'll just read them real quick and we move on. He said, okay. Number one, PS4 Pro not intended to blur the lines between console generations. Again, half measure. This is not PlayStation 5. They're not even pretending that it is. Number two, more than doubled the power of the GPU, adopted many new features from the Polaris architecture, as well as several even beyond it. And I forget the name of the one that's coming beyond it. I don't know if you remember off the top of your head, Pete. It's coming in 2017. But again, they're doing some tricks with the GPU is basically what they're saying. And a number of hardware innovations support sufficient rendering for 4K displays. So this is, again, where they're going to take a lower resolution and they're going to render it up to 4K. And it's going to look just like a true 4K image on your 4K television is what they're trying to say. Mm-hmm. Streamlined rendering techniques that take advantage of custom hardware. Basically, number three, just repeat it again. Number five, best in breed temporal and spatial anti-aliasing techniques. So it's making everything nice and smooth and not looking all pixelated on your screen. And then the last one, just talking about VR specific, fair point, doubled render pixel count from that of the standard model. So in other words, they're going to get more pixels in front of your eyeballs using the power of the PlayStation 4 Pro than they would on the standard edition. So again, this, you know, it's not Scorpio. And I think that's the big thing that comes out of this. Sony is not chasing Scorpio with this. If anything, which I talked about a few weeks ago, do not be shocked in 2018 if they announced a PlayStation 5. That's all I'm saying. That's why they get this out now. 2 years from now, you do PlayStation 5 and you move on.
Wasn't the wording he used was astonishingly close to 4K, I think was the phrase that he used. And it's like the part, and I hate it that now we've become the PS4 bashing club here, but the part that confuses me still, and I hate to keep harping back on this, no 4K Blu-ray drive from a company that has the license on Blu-ray and the company that manufactures 4K TVs, of which I have one in my living room, but not include the 4K. And Paris, I understand and I give you kudos on the possibility of maybe they're just going all in on digital and streaming, because it does make sense. And if it can do that, you know, all the more merrier. But I don't know. Not everybody wants to go and download, you know, or stream the videos. I mean, it may come out cheaper. Maybe since they do own the studio, it might behoove them, and they might be able to actually make money on the sales or rentals of video streaming, because they own the studio. It's not like they have to lease it or what have you.
Right.
I don't know. That astonishingly close to 4K comment just it's almost like I feel like I'm getting shivved in a jail.
Well, I'll say this is just as far as the Blu-ray thing goes. I've not bought a Blu-ray probably since maybe Kill Bill when Kill Bill came out on Blu-ray. I think that was the last Blu-rays I bought. So I mean, it's been some years, so it's not like I'm buying physical media right now. So this doesn't me personally doesn't affect me either way, but there is still a percentage of people out there that want to buy and own their physical media. I think that number's dropping by the year. And if I had to guess, it's pure speculation, I think Sony, again, they're the ones that created this medium. They've decided to move on from it too. They're not gonna double down on it. I think it's a mistake just from a marketing standpoint, like I said earlier, but they obviously feel differently. So don't be shocked when the PlayStation 5 doesn't have it either.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So should we do a fan mail or what?
Or do we want to talk about the lackluster Apple 7 sales?
Ah, we don't have to talk about the Apple 7.
We should talk about this EA Access thing.
Oh, yes. Okay. Let's go with the EA Access thing. All right. So Titanfall 2 is coming out in October. And we all know that they have a marketed deal with Sony. Recently, we read that this game is not going to be available EA Access members, because usually you'll get to play the games 7 days before it gets released. Now, what happened? Sometime November of last year, Star Wars Battlefront, they also had a marketing deal with Sony, but the game came out 7 days early on Xbox One. And what happened? All the Xbox staff members, the employees, everybody was promoting this on Twitter. You could play Star Wars on Xbox first. You could play on Star Wars. Behind the scenes, Sony wasn't really too happy. So when they made this deal with EA, they mentioned that 100% that they don't want this game to be available on Xbox 7 days early. They want this to be a 100% deal with Sony and just leave it as that. So it makes sense. I know there's a lot of people that are pissed off that this is happening, but at the end of the day, guys, this is a business, and I don't blame Sony or EA for making this happen. You know, at the same time, when Battlefront came out early on Xbox One, it really looked bad on EA. Behind the scenes, it looked really, really bad. So I don't blame them. But I want to know what your opinion is, guys, P or Paris, about all this.
Well, go ahead, Paris, because like, honestly, I have no idea because I haven't been really paying attention to this.
Well, again, like we were talking about this during Call of Duty XP, it's, dude, this completely nerfs the whole point of EA Access, in my opinion. If marketing deals can pick and choose and keep select games out of the early access of it, why are you paying for it? Seriously, why are you paying for it? Because let's be real, showing Mass Effect on screen today at Sony tells me it ain't going to be on EA Access, right?
At all.
You know what I mean? Titanfall, not on EA Access. What other games from EA aren't going to be there moving forward? So
Battlefield 1, but because it has that deal.
It has the marketing deal. That's my point. So it just comes down to who has the marketing deal for which particular IP. Which goes back to why Sony didn't invest in this in the first place.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, didn't they say no because it wasn't a value? It wasn't a good value for their fans back in 2014 or something like that 2 years ago.
Right. And, you know, like I said, with the whole Star Wars thing, it's apparent they saw Battlefront last year. Sony had the marketing deal for it. And they were like, wait, why are we paying for this then? You can't do this with any other games that we have a marketing deal with. So they're not doing it.
Exactly. And what happened also last year, there was a couple of journalists got the game through EA Access and review the game based on what they play on Xbox One.
Yep.
7 days before it came out. And they had I think they had a review copy of the PlayStation 4, but they couldn't review it. They were under embargo while everybody else was playing the game early. So it didn't make no, it was just a mess.
Yeah.
A complete mess. So I understand why they make that deal. And there's a lot of people that are pissed off. But look, if you want to pay EA Access, you still get your games. There's going to be, you know, the good things about it. But remember, in the future, no Titanfall 2. And you, like Paris said, maybe no Mass Effect. Who knows?
I want to go back to the whole pro thing, because I'm looking at Polygon. And I guess they had a telephone interview with Albert Pinello right after the briefing. And I mean, yeah, he's obviously very confident that Scorpio, you know, will surpass what this PlayStation 4 Pro is doing. He doesn't know how the hell they're doing HDR on the old PlayStation 4s, because again, like I was speculating, HDMI 2.0A is a requirement for HDR, but there are some cases where you can upgrade the HDMI, but not from 1.4. So even he's wants to see how Sony's doing that. So I guess that remains to be seen. He also reiterated there will be a 4K Blu-ray player in Scorpio, and they are on target for a holiday 2017 release. and they're very confident about their lineup and everything that they're doing. So, I mean, again, Microsoft is looking at this and they're not worried at all. You know, it's like we've been saying for the longest, man, this is just good for gaming, period. It's competition. Oh, he also mentioned at the end, because they asked about developers, you know, they announced Scorpio when they did to give developers, you know, plenty of time to, you know, get the full potential of the system. And the fact that Sony is also doing this Pro and going towards 4K gaming, that this will help developers, you know, support the Scorpio as well. So everyone wins. Again, that's what it comes back to. Look, I'll just shut up about this. If you want to dip your toe into 4K gaming on the console side in 2016, you're going to go get a PlayStation 4 Pro. If you want to wait it out, wait till the end of 2017 and weigh your options in when Scorpio's out, because you'll see the price of both. You'll see the launch lineups for both, and you can make an informed and well-educated opinion and decision. There you go. That's how I look at it.
And at the end of the day, I have a lot of questions for Aaron and all these guys. I have a lot of questions. I hope we could get them on the show in the future. We'll see. But that would be really, really cool. All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Hey, Gamertag crew. This is Lauren, Gamertag Kaimana Inc. Thank you for answering my email a while back. My next question for the crew is, how do you feel about delays on games? Like, for example, the delay that we have again for the Final Fantasy 15. I know how much you love The Witcher and how it is a very fantastic game. Even with the delays or how long it even took to make said game, do you think that a lot of games can learn from this? Like delaying it, taking a lot of years to just make a great game? Kind of like how Assassin's Creed finally took a year off from doing an Assassin's Creed every single year to like maybe make a better Assassin's Creed? But I personally think that some games kind of do need more delays. I would just love to hear your opinion on it and would love to hear from you guys. Thanks again for all you do and the entertaining hours I get from your podcast. So Pete and Paris, I'll see you at Phil Winter's Peak in September. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Lauren, for the question. Guys, what do you think? I think we talked about this a couple of times, but at the end of the day, I think it's worth that companies take their time and make a great game instead of rushing it and it's all buggy and we can't enjoy the experience after paying $60. I'll be extremely pissed off. So I'd rather companies take their time.
Well, to her point, I mean, like you look at CD Projekt Red, you know, they delayed Witcher 3 a few different times. And then finally, the final product that we got wound up being a masterpiece. And like she also iterated on Assassin's Creed. Thank God they finally took a year off. So if anything, by taking that year off, when we get Assassin's Creed next year in 2017, oh my God, it'll be on Scorpio and PlayStation 4 Pro and 4K. Oh my God, my head exploded. But I'm anticipating it now. It's, you know, it's going to be a highly anticipated game because we know whatever studio has been working on it has probably had about a good 3 or 4 years instead of rushing it out every couple years. So, it's definitely a good thing. And I appreciate her leaving a voicemail. And of course, I'll be at Phil Winter's Peak. So hit me up on PlayStation 4 because you better not be on Xbox talking about Destiny. Vicious696. And put a message in the PlayStation thing because I've been getting spam lately. So unless you say who you are, I'm not accepting your friend's request.
And make sure your name is XX so you can piss him off.
XX420. No, I agree with what Paris said. Hell, I've been saying this for years. I remember, I think EA put me on their website for something similar to this when I think it was Army of Two many, many, many years ago. We all take it for granted that, you know, in this age of immediacy and 140 characters, that people want their games now, but they don't understand that there's a testing requirement before, and you know, there's testing in QA to make sure that the product you get is as bug-free as possible. Now, sometimes there's other things that are outside of our control or outside of the realm of tech, and sometimes just things just don't work right, but it makes absolute sense when people delay games for the right reasons. Now, if it's to delay it because they don't want it to go launch against a Call of Duty slash Battlefield slash, you know, Titanfall window, some people will applaud them. Some people will give them kudos for launching in a usually rough environment like that, right? But I would absolutely prefer that game launches be held back to ensure as bug-free experience as possible. Nobody wants to load a gig of day one patches at 12:03 p.m. or 12:03 a.m. when you've been waiting all day to get that to get that game, only to have to download and run a 1 gig patch or something like that to fix things that could have been fixed if y'all had just delayed it by a month. You know what I mean?
So I agree.
And if companies would do what companies like what Barrett said, they did the 3 to 5 year delay just to launch a game and made people wait, the quality of what we would put on our game devices, whether it's a console or a gaming PC, would be a hell of a lot better because we wouldn't have to worry about it. Unfortunately, the business side, which only sees dollar signs, they don't care about the experiences for the most part. They want to push to get quantity over quality most of the time. So unfortunately, you know, we can beg and plead all we want, and sometimes it's not up to the developers of the actual game. Sometimes it's the suits upstairs that are pushing it to get it out to meet a deadline or to meet some kind of a contractual obligation. But yes, I am 100% with you. And as far as Fellwinter's Peak, I don't know which console to get it on. I don't know if I upgrade and get it on PS4 or get it on Xbox.
It's not enough for you, the PlayStation version?
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if I'm playing it enough to warrant it. I'll probably get it. I'm torn right now. Like, I've already got three players in the 320, 330 area, so it's not going to take that much for me to level those up. But I'm like 1.5 characters right now and on the PlayStation 4. So it's like I'm trying to go through that. I'm going through that internal struggle. Where do I go? Where do I go? So,
all right, here's another email. This is from John. Hey guys, hope you guys are having a good day. I had a question. I currently have one PS4 controller with some control freak grips and thumbsticks for it. Given the battery life on these guys, it dies while playing Destiny or Madden. I have been thinking of getting an extra controller. I was looking into these SCUF controllers and debating between a regular PlayStation 4 one, a PlayStation 4 one, or with a Control Freak Gear or SCUF one. I was wondering if you guys have ever used one of these controllers. I'm also waiting to see what the PlayStation 4 conference has to show as far as controllers go. Thanks for the hard work. Looking forward to the next episode. Well, thank you, John. Paris, want to answer this one? Because well, this is on you.
Yeah, it's interesting because at Call of Duty XP, part of the little goodie bag they give you, they had the Control Freak, the CQCs, the thumbsticks that you can put on the PlayStation 4. So when I came home, I was like, you know what? Let me try these out because I haven't used them before. So I put them on. I've been playing Destiny all this weekend. I dig them. I really like them. It definitely is improving my grip and everything when I'm trying to aim. So I like them, and they're a cheap option. Obviously, you can get them for like $15, I think. But ironically enough, SCUF was there at Call of Duty XP, and we got to talking to them, and they're actually going to send us a review unit for PlayStation 4 SCUF controller. So hopefully here in the next week or so, I'll be getting that, and I'll give my opinion on that as well. But looking forward to it. But like I said, just the Control Freak ones, if you're just looking for a cheap option to see if it helps you out a little bit, I would try it out. I like them. I dig them because when I get the SCUF controller, my son has already been eyeballing them. He wants to take the Control Freak ones and try those out as well. So, yeah, I think it would be a good option. Why not?
All right, so we're going to wrap it up. We have a lot of emails, but we're going to save it for Monday's episode. So stay tuned and head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamertagRadio. You can listen to the shows there. And remember to share with your friends and hit us up, email us, call us. Our email is fanmo@gamertagradio.com or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. GTR, or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message there. And yeah, so we'll see you next time Monday. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.